Dear friends, welcome. It is a wonderful thing to see you marching in, streaming in, wandering in, greeting each other and making the musical sounds of gladness to be here together. Welcome to you who are together in the sanctuary. Welcome to you who join us online. How good to be a community together, whether we are in the same space, visible to each other, or separate and still joining with each other. To our church family, you will see that again, Stacy is not physically with us. She has been in some difficult pain this week. It makes me grateful to share with you that her pain has eased in the last couple of days. But there's pain in her leg that makes it very difficult to walk or even to stand. And that is why she is not with us today, though she is in our online community today, joining us in worship. And as has been the case in many recent Sundays, the prayer offered today by me is a prayer prepared for us by her. Two announcements. Today, after worship, is a bake sale. A bake sale. It's actually a donation sale, where all money that we offer will be given to support the missions efforts of the American Baptist Women's Group in our congregation. They do great work, are wonderful people, and we're going to support their work with our gifts today. And in return, we get the pastries of our choosing, the baking goods of our choosing. It's worthwhile to go. If anyone's mouth is watering, consider that a gift from your future to your present. Enjoy and come enjoy with us later. Secondly, next Sunday, the 19th, we're having a blessing of new members. We have recently had people coming to make their membership with our congregation official. And we recognize them and give our blessing and commitments to them at the end of the service. Some of you have said you are ready for that and will be part of that occasion next week. Others of you may be ready and have not yet been able to commit. Perhaps you weren't sure this was happening this week. If you are open and interested at all to making your membership in this church family official, please let me know, let Zan Morgan know, let our office know, and you will be included. Thank you for considering this. And now would you join me, please, in our printed call to worship. Do not fear. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord will renew you in his love and exult over you with singing. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Please stand if you're able. Please join me in prayer. Dear God, help us to see that you are with us. We thank you for the wondrous gift you gave us on the first Christmas. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Happy are those whom help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the free. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
from the book of James. Be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and is patient for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. As an example, in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Vern was very good at giving the gift of hospitality.
Let us pray. God of our highest joy, we have come to praise you, to adore you, to worship you. Amidst all the glittering entertainments or advertisements, the allure of new gadgets and gifts, and in the face of anxieties about doing enough and giving enough and making the season special enough, remind us of the truth. You came to us. You come to us. You are enough. You are enough, and by your grace, you make us enough. And in light of this, we can let go our nagging worries and our frantic doing. We can give you our anxiety, give you our grief, every bit of our pain, and all things in our lives we feel do not measure up to expectations. Help us see those expectations for what they are: falsehoods, idols. Give us instead the joy and the peace that only you can give. While we experience your gifts in this season, and while we proclaim your light in the midst of darkness, we are mindful of the pain and the struggle that is the reality of so many. We pray for those who are moving through the season with fresh grief or renewed grief, for those who live a daily reality of violence or poverty, for those who grapple with depression or addiction or anxiety, for those who struggle under the weight of diagnosis or a personal disaster or an impending loss. We pray for those for whom this is a sad and difficult season. We pray for all who long for spiritual renewal, including ourselves. We pray for joy. Joy for ourselves and for all. We pray too for those in our church and in our lives who need your special and most tender care right now. For Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marsh, Stacy Simpson Duke, Maria Pirantosi, Essie Slaughter, Ulysses Slaughter Jr., Allison Lovell, Mia Germano, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Leah Grange, Randy Shedd, Chris Ledyard Hargan. Each of us needs you, loving God. Each of us needs what only you can give. We offer you our most private prayers now in silence. Gracious God, in joy you came to us in Jesus, and in joy you mean for us to receive you. Help us to see and experience your loving care and presence in the midst of our daily struggles. Help us to be people in whom your brightness shines, that those around us might know your goodness in the midst of difficulty. Give us the courage to live as people of joy in a world that needs your good news. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Words now from the prophet Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Strengthen the weak hand. Makes firm the feeble knees. Say to them who are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. Your God will come and save you. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And the lame shall leap like the deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. It shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray on it. The redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall have joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord. My pastor friend Steve Shoemaker tells of a young woman he knew who was profoundly depressed. She grieved deeply for children lost. She desperately wanted another child, but the depression had reduced her to such an anorexic thinness that her body could not conceive, much less bear a child. She had a caring husband, a good psychiatrist, a supportive family and community, but her situation seemed hopeless. Then one night she was given a dream. Her dream was filled with lush greenness and new life blossoming. And she woke, thinking that she was to have a child. Now, her dream, of course, was far, far ahead of her body and almost seemed like a cruel joke. But slowly, her mind and her body began to heal. And then, to her astonishment, she found herself to be with child, and a son was on his way into the world. Now, what shall we think about such a dream? Did it bubble up from her unconscious mind that somehow knew she was ready to get well? Or did the future send her the dream to comfort her and give an invitation? Did wishful thinking conjure the vision of fruitful greenness? Or was it God who held the vision before her as a promise? Or maybe all the above? Dreams like this abound in the Bible, and today, just now, one such dream has been held up before our eyes by the prophet Isaiah. It's another dream of greenness and blossoming new life. As it opens, we are standing in an endless, endless desert. We're longing to be home, to be on our way to home, but there's nothing but desert, burning sand, shadeless, waterless, impossible to cross to get home. And then we see it. It's not just us here. All manner of people have joined us here. We're all standing in the same desert, all in the same plight. We see signs among some of them of suffering. Some have gone blind. Others can't speak or walk. This is the opening of the dream. But now something strange begins to happen. We look down by our feet, and flowers are appearing. Purple, yellow crocuses. Then all kinds of flowers spreading outward. Acres and acres of blossoms, green grass, fruit trees, shade trees, and now the musical sound of bubbling, flowing streams. And then in the dream, we see before us opening a broad path that we know leads home. We see now that there is a way. A long, long road to be sure, but there is a way, and along the way is water, nourishment, beauty, community. And what is more, we can see that the faces of these people with us are brighter now, and that those who were blind are starting to see now, and those with no voice are starting to sing, and those who couldn't walk, they're jumping up and down, leaping like deer for joy. We're all going home. And as far as it is still to go, it's almost as if home has come all the way to where we are, to lead us to our destination. As in many dreams, this one communicates symbolically, and we want to ask questions of it, like the ones we raised about the young woman's dream. Is this vision merely fantasy rising from the prophet's unconscious mind? Is it just the hard work of his craft as a poet? Or did God give it from the future to set in our hearts too something of a truth that will be? And as with that young woman who dreamed of greenness, does this vision speak of what is already in motion among us? And is it inviting us to get up and to make choices and to take new steps toward the coming truth of it? What do you think of that opening symbolic system in the dream? A desert. A vast, dry, shadeless place. And a home that we long for but can't get to because we're stuck in this desert. Do you think that's a fair picture of life as we experience it, even as the world knows it? It is not. Not all the time. Often our lives do have happiness enough, greenness enough. I think there's no need for us in church to exaggerate the extent of our struggles. Christina Rossetti wrote a poem called Uphill. Does the road wind uphill all the way? Yes, to the very end. Will the day's journey take the whole long day? From morn to night, my friend. Well, no, Christina. The road of our lives is not always uphill. Sometimes life, thank God, is like a lovely ride. But equally true, and it feels more than equally true, life also grows very, very hard, bitterly painful, scary. And then it feels right to say with Christina Rossetti, the road does wind uphill all the way. And with Isaiah, we can cry that we're stranded, lost, and suffering in a vast and empty desert. And if that is where we are, then this vision, this promise is for us. It is the promise of joy. Joy in reaching finally a new kind of home one day that will be, and joy as well made possible all along the way toward such home. Only the last part of that dream describes arriving at home. Here are those words. The ransomed of the Lord shall return, will come to Zion with singing, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will be no more. Singing, joy, gladness by the lavish, healing grace of God. This is what awaits us. Because no matter the hurts, no matter the betrayals, no matter the disappointments, the deep personal bitter pain, no matter any of that now or just ahead, the last word resounding will be love. God's boundless, everlasting love. And the gift of love will be and always is joy. But most of Isaiah's dream is not about that destination in the joy that we will finally realize. Most of Isaiah's vision is about joy all along the way, joy on the journey here and now. Are we languishing in the desert now? All right. So hear the news. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Do you hear that? A desert singing? A wilderness filled with gladness? This dry place we're traveling through will be blossoming. Why can that be dreamed? Because the love that will one day have the last word is already at this moment having the deepest, most true, and most lasting, massive word of all. And because the one we so achingly long for, O come, Emmanuel, is already here, God with us, and because we have each other along the way. So many faithful, caring people who are on the way with us, we get to be with them on this journey. They are, many of them, the blossoms in our desert. They are the streams that flow for us too. My friend Grady Nutt once said to some of us who had been good news to him, "You rain on my desert." Wonder could we learn to say that to each other? I'd like to say it to you, you wonderful, loving, forward-looking people. You reign on my desert. Are we traveling through dry and deadly space? Or is it much, much more a place of life and of love? Frederick Buechner wrote these magnificent words: "What is lost is nothing to what's found. And all the death that ever was set next to life would scarce fill a teacup." We may be traveling a wilderness way, but love has met us here. Has spread it with greenness, fragrance, refreshment, color, community, life. Some of you will recall a song by Melissa Etheridge, "All the Way to Heaven is Heaven." Turns out that is line for line a quote from St. Catherine of Siena. She said, "All the way to heaven is heaven." At least for those whose hearts are open to see it and to hear it, blossoms all through the wilderness, our desert singing. And a road opening before us, leading home. And a presence with us and one another. Opening our hearts to the power of such joy may take some courage, some choosing. So the voice of the dream declares, "Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. For let us be clear, the opposite of joy is not grief. The opposite of joy is fear. Which means that joy is our witness against all that instills fear, peddles fear, multiplies fear, uses fear." The Polish poet Anna Kamienska said, "Joy isn't just a gift, it is also a duty." And joy is, in the end, our destination. All along, the gladness in us has been only an echo of the gladness that is our home and that awaits us in more perfect form. Listen to the words again. The ransomed of the Lord shall come home singing. Joy shall be upon their heads, and gladness and sorrow and sighing will flee away. It's that last word that gets me every time. The word sighing. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. It gets me because sighing is bigger than sorrow. We sigh not just for grief. We sigh in our exhaustion. We sigh in our longing. We sigh with our regrets. We sigh in concern for our children and for the future of the world, of its people, of our church, of our nation. We sigh for justice. We sigh for peace. We sigh as an expression of unfulfilled need for love. Perhaps in the end, it's all a sighing for home. Maybe it's a sighing of the earth itself. Maybe even the sighing of God. But not forever. The Lord has come with joy for our journey. And we will come home singing with gladness and sorrow and sighing. All sorrow, all sighing shall flee away. It is never a sense of mere obligation or of tired habit. It is an expression of joy and of hope that we offer what we are able to offer to the love of God in the world, even as we offer ourselves to the love of God in the world, with love, with joy. We make our offerings. as people who live in the hope, and not only in the hope, but the experience of gladness. Let us joyously extend to one another the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now will you receive the benediction? Dear friends, Christ is coming and all the world awaits. Prepare the way of the Lord. Put aside the works of darkness. Clothe yourself in light. Dear friends, come. Dear friends, go, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.